Okay, if you open up to Ephesians chapter 1, we'll be picking it up at verse 11. But before that, I just want, or as you're turning there, there's going to be a celebration of life for Christine Garcia, you know, my wife's mom and Waldo's wife. And that's going to be Saturday, August 22nd. And today is what? It's the 9th. So then it'd be a week from Saturday, I guess. And it's going to be open house, potluck. And they've got the numbers here and the address. It's going to be at my daughter's house. So if you just pick up one of these, if you'd like to swing by, I think it'll be people coming and going. So there's not like 70 people all there at the same time. But you can get the information over by the donation box. That would be good. Denny, I hate to put you on the spot, but any update on the North African missionary work? Yeah. It's let me see if
I can return. They only had a few days to leave when they were given notice that they had to leave the country. And they're almost all their mission team, there were several others in the North African area they were working with, and they all had to go. So now they don't know when they can come back. They don't know when the border's gonna reopen. So they are now staying temporarily for 2 months in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, where his parents live. His dad is a pastor of a large church in Oklahoma. So he's staying there. And then they're going to come here, I think, October, and stay here for a few more months. And they're just going to treat this, it's kind of like rolling with the punches.
Yeah.
They're just going to treat this like a sabbatical.
Yeah.
And they're going to study, and they're going to continue to work on the apps that they're building for outreach and discipleship in Arabic, and so they're doing that.
Yep.
So we hope to see them. I haven't seen them in a year and a half.
Yeah,
they'll be here hopefully in October.
Well, we need to continue to support them financially and in our prayers. A powerful, powerful work, and they've got, you know, they're young people. They know how to use social media to spread a really wide net and to reach out to Muslims, you know, like 98% Muslim out there, 98 or 99%, and so then people who are open to the gospel, to, you know, they'll eventually, and they have stages where they get them Bibles, and then eventually they're going to be discipled in secret, because it's pretty much, you know, not legal over there, so just keep that in prayer. I don't know. Is the government using the virus as the excuse, or are they just
the government? Yes.
Yeah. So it's amazing how much bigger governments can get when they tell us they have our physical health, our well being at stake. But really be in prayer. We got to continue to support them, They'll be able to swing by if they get it, whenever they're up in this area and stuff like that, so we can see them face to face. But we definitely want to continue our support of that. Just a phenomenal ministry that they've got. And of course, Satan doesn't like that. So let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' precious name, we love you, Lord, We pray, Lord, for those who are hurting in the church, and some of us have lost loved ones, and some of us have injuries or sicknesses. And we just pray, Lord, that you would touch us with your healing hand. We pray, Lord, especially for the North African missions work, that you would open the doors for Rachel and Jared to get back out there. But in the meantime, give them the wisdom to know what kind of apps to work on and things to do. And but we just love you, Lord, and we're just so grateful to be even just a little part of that ministry. And Lord, I just pray that for our country and our leaders in the coming election, that our people would vote wisely and vote for leaders who want to protect our God-given rights, not enslave us. We know, Lord, you didn't institute human government to enslave people, but to protect their God-given rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So I just pray, Lord, for our leaders that you'd give them wisdom and that you'd really, we place our leaders into your hands, Lord. You've called us to love everybody and speak the truth in love, but we just place our leaders in your hands, and we know that if our leaders come to your salvation, there's protection in your hands, and you'll never let us go. But we also know, Lord, that if we oppose you and we're in your hands, that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So we just, that's your business, Lord, not ours. And just help us to preach your word, to disciple others, to love you, to be good heads of households and good family, have good, strong families, and to protect our families. But give us the wisdom that that we can be all that you called us to be. And I pray, Lord, that as we study this passage, that it would be your word that would be proclaimed from this pulpit. I pray that I would not lead anyone astray. And I pray you open hearts and minds, including my own, to receive truth from your word. And then I pray that your spirit would empower us to apply these truths to our lives so that we could be all that you called us to be for your glory and to build your kingdom. And we know you're a holy God, and Peter tells us that we are to be holy for our God is holy. And so we're to be separated from the sinfulness of the world, and we're not to outwardly conform to the way the world acts. And so I just pray, Lord, that you would cleanse us as individuals, and then you'd cleanse our church as well, Lord. Just get any filth of the world out of our church and out of our lives and out of our families, and cause us to be pleasing in your sight, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit and for your glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we've been looking at the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, and Paul wants us to focus on the spiritual, invisible blessings that we have in the heavenly realms. And it's so hard. We get all caught up, whether things are good or things are bad. It's easy for us to focus on the things of this world, whether it's like, oh man, the curses of this world, or even the blessings of this world. We need our focus to be on the blessings in the heavenly places. We need to recognize who we are in Christ. Don't listen to the evil one. The evil one will tell every believer, you know, you're the same loser you were before you came to Christ. God can't use you. Nothing you're doing is powerful and all. I'm telling you, you just give me, you know, one Christian who sells out to Jesus and gets on his knees, and that's more power than the White House or the Vatican or the United Nations can produce, okay? So let's look at power and authority from God's perspective, not from our own. And if we recognize these spiritual blessings we have in Christ, you know, maybe we'll stop acting like the insignificant people that the world thinks we are. Okay? And so, you know, what are these blessings? Well, we found that we're chosen in Christ. When was the last time you thanked God for choosing you? Okay? We're adopted as sons and daughters. Okay? You know, can you imagine being an orphan and being adopted by a king? I mean, you'd be grateful for that every day. But hey, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're adopted as sons and daughters. you know, there are powerful people in this world that aren't adopted. So that power is temporary power, and it's not going to accomplish anything of eternal value. We're accepted by the Lord. You know, we want so much. Probably for some of us, I know I've had battles with this. Sometimes our biggest problem is we want to be accepted by the world. We want to be cool in the eyes of the world. Well, let me tell you, if you're a believer, if you're trusting Jesus for salvation, you're accepted by the triune God. You don't deserve it. Jesus earned it for us. He paid the ransom price. But the fact of the matter is, you are accepted by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Peter, Paul, and John. Okay? It was like the psalmist would say, what is man that you would think of him? Or the son of man? I mean, it's just like, we're little tiny dots on a little tiny dot called planet Earth in this great big universe. But God loves man so much that God the Son became one of us to provide salvation for us. So the next time you feel like you're rejected by the world, hey, you're in good company. Jesus was rejected by this world and he created it. But we're accepted by God. We're redeemed. Jesus paid the price in his blood, in his death. He paid the ransom price to set us free. We're redeemed and forgiven. Our debt has been canceled. Okay? You know, we've been set free. We don't always act like we've been set free. Okay? But we've been set free. And we have new knowledge. You know, all these brilliant thinkers have all these big ideas. And I'm telling you, man, the church is fallen for false ideas left and right. And the American church, that is, with all these people that think they have this cutting-edge wisdom that they learned at the universities and this and that. I'm telling you, man, it's a bunch of lies. But the church in America, man, it's we are now exchanging the gospel for Marxist ideology. And we're just taking eternal life and the salvation of individuals from sin, just tossing that aside, and we're trying to build a utopian Marxist society. And the church is helping the world on that. That, as nasty as the government's getting with Christianity, as nasty as the media and the universities are getting with Christianity, that's not what scares me. What scares me is looking at so many Christian leaders siding with the other side. Okay? I'm telling you, when we outlaw Christianity in America, Jesus said before he comes back, we're going to be hated in all nations because of him. When we outlaw Christianity in America, there are going to be lots of churches that are going to keep their doors open because they'll have so morphed their message. It's going to be so politically correct that there'll be absolutely no threat to the government. But when you say, no, I acknowledge there is authority even above the government. You know, you look at Pastor John MacArthur. He's doing the right thing. And he's a big church. Smaller churches can do the right thing and get away with it. This guy's under the microscope. He's got 7,000 people showing up on Sundays because we must obey God rather than men. By the way, he's one of the most apolitical pastors I've known. This guy just never engaged. I thought he needed to engage more. So this is a pastor that just realized, man, the government is playing God. It's what I call the deification of the state. And we've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. But we have this new knowledge. We know how the story ends. We know that all of human history, you know, the entire Old Testament pointed forward to Calvary. The Lord Jesus being crucified, his death and resurrection. And not only did everything come from Jesus, he's the creator, and we exist through him, he sustains us in existence, but everything's moving towards him. Okay? Doesn't mean everybody's going to get saved, but it means if you don't get saved, you're still going to have to live. He's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so the world's lying to us right now. The world is lying to us big time. And the choice might come down to, we're going to have Esau's choice someday. You know? There's not going to be a place for people who do not bend the knee to Caesar. And so you're going to have to choose, do I want food or do I want Jesus? Because the day's going to come, you're not going to be able to have both. And I think there's going to be revival in America. But just because we have revival in a country doesn't mean that everything goes great. Look at Nigeria. Nigeria, about 47% of Nigerians are Christians. Problem is, the other 53% are Muslims, so guess who's getting slaughtered? But I think there's going to be a revival, but there's going to be a tremendous time of suffering as well. But we have this new knowledge. We know where things are heading. At the end, when the smoke clears, we don't have all the details, but we know when the smoke clears, King Jesus is going to be on the throne. He's on the throne right now in heaven, but he's going to be on David's throne. The throne of David over here. And there are a lot of people that just want to get rid of Israel, get rid of Christians, and it's like Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to take his stand. So we have this new knowledge, this mystery of all things being summed up in Christ when the whole universe will be submitted to Christ. Now in verses 11 and 12, we're going to find that we have an eternal inheritance. An eternal inheritance. And then in verses 13 and 14, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. John, are we doing communion today?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so we have an eternal inheritance. Look at verses 11 and 12. In him, that's in Christ, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Okay, now this is interesting too, because in verses 11 and 12, he's actually talking about the Jews. Because Paul says, we who first trusted in Christ, well, that was the Jews. Then when you go down to verse 13, in him you Gentiles, also trusted. And guess what? He's going to protect our inheritance as well. So all believers, Jew and Gentile, have an inheritance. It's just Paul's talking right now about the first ones to believe, the Jews, but then the gospel came to the Gentiles. But he talks about this eternal inheritance, okay? Now remember, with salvation, when we looked at the first spiritual blessings, God the Father planned it, okay? God the Son, the Lord Jesus, provided it 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross for our sins. And now the Holy Spirit applies it to our lives. He gives us the new birth. He regenerates us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I think there's a typo in the notes. Should be verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Okay? So just keep that in mind. Yes, we'll be talking about that in a few weeks, the end time prophecies and stuff. But the sacrificing of the red heifer has to be done to purify Israel before they can rebuild the temple. And right now, there's two red heifers. What happens is a lot of times the red heifers get a little bit of white fur and it's over. Back to the drawing board. But right now, there's two completely red heifers. And August 29th is when they're scheduled to sacrifice it. There's powers that be that are working on a peace treaty. You know, the Bible says in the last days, the Antichrist will sign a 7-year covenant with the nation of Israel, and that might give the Jews permission to rebuild the temple, okay? But believe me, we're moving in that direction. But just keep in mind, for most of the history of mankind, okay, once the tabernacle was built, which was a portable temple, for the most part, God hasn't really left us without a temple. When Jesus was on earth, he said, destroy this temple, I'll raise it in 3 days. He's talking about the temple of his body. Now we are what? We're the body of Christ. Okay? And so we're the temple. The Holy Spirit resides in us. So basically, you know, you can't say, well, go to Jerusalem and find out about the true God who created the heavens and the earth. It's like, no, you're supposed to come to me. You're supposed to go to you. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then Paul even talks about in 1 Corinthians 3, the local church gathering is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So people should just hang out with Christians and come into the special presence, the fellowshipping presence of God. Now think about that. You meet somebody tomorrow, is that guy going to go home and say, man, you know, I came in the presence of God. It was like this guy was like a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I really felt like I came into the presence of God. With most of us, you know, sometimes our bad days outnumber our good days, and when people come in contact with Phil Fernandez, they go away saying, what a grouch. Or, you know, who is that guy? He talks funny. And wouldn't it be nice, if, since our God is holy, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are holy. And when people spend some time with us, they walk away and say, man, I know he's just a regular guy, but I felt like I was in the presence of God. Okay? And by the way, just tell people, God bless you. Tell them nowadays everybody's afraid of the virus. I'm not afraid of the virus. I'm afraid of the government and its response to the virus. But tell people, God bless you and be safe. You know? And let people know that you care. Encourage people. Okay? Share a little bit of Jesus with them. Even if the person's never going to come to Christ, that might be the little bit of Jesus they see. And, you know, you're an ambassador. We're ambassadors. We're sent behind enemy lines into foreign lands to represent Jesus, and our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we act like, oh, I just, you know, this is just, you know, Phil Fernandez getting up in the morning doing his thing. You know, it's like, no, it's supposed to be an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ getting up in the morning to do battle through the power of the Holy Spirit and for God's glory. As the kingdom of God takes more ground from the kingdom of Satan. And but whatever the case, though, the Holy Spirit indwells us. And I'm skipping a little bit ahead, this being sealed with the Holy Spirit, but let's talk first on the inheritance here. So, but keep in mind, though, don't, you know, the same power, Paul's going to talk about that later in Ephesians, the same power that it took God the Father to raise Jesus from the dead, that's the power that you have in your life, okay? Now, do you live like an adopted son or daughter of God? Do you act that way? Do you act like you have an inheritance? Well, most of us, it's just kind of like, woe is me, okay? And so let's look at this this inheritance. The inheritance here is the believer's heavenly possessions that are reserved in heaven for us, which we will receive at our Lord's return. So God predestined, he predetermined that all believers would receive an inheritance in his kingdom. So all believers have an eternal inheritance in heaven. Look at Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatians. Chapter 4, You're a child of the King and you have an inheritance. Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7. The Apostle Paul says this: when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son. He sent Jesus at the perfect time for God the Son to become a man. When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. He was born to the Virgin Mary, born under the law, to redeem those, to set free those who are under the law, so that we might receive what? The adoption as sons. That's what Paul, we were talking about last week, one of the spiritual blessings. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You have an inheritance. You know, the Bible talks about that. You know, you could be buddies. You could grow up in this rich guy's house. You're his son, whether you were adopted or just actually his son, and one of your best buddies could be one of the servants, one of the slaves. And you guys are like, you know, you get in a fight and you both get chewed out. You both get grounded. And you go outside and you play together. You have fun together. You do all that kind of stuff. But the fact of the matter is, if one's a servant, the servant's not going to get an inheritance. It's the son. Well, we're adopted as sons and daughters of God, and we have an inheritance that's awaiting for us. And do we act that way? Do we live by faith? That means trusting God to keep his promises. Do we live by faith or do we live by sight? Now, don't get me wrong. Well, you know, I've been having back pain lately, and it sure looks like I'm not thinking about being an adopted son who's got an eternal inheritance. All I'm thinking about is my back hurts, and I'm going to be little Mr. Grouchy, you know, until the ibuprofen kicks in or whatever. And I'm not saying that when they were bouncing rocks off of Paul's head that he expressed the joy of the Lord and smiled and was saying, hallelujah, throw another one, okay? At the same time, Paul did have the joy of the Lord. Okay, so we're not talking about faking a smile and this and that. If you're suffering, yeah, you know, suffering stinks. That's part of the fall. It's part of being in a cursed creation. But in the midst of your suffering, you got to say, Lord, you know, Lord, if it be your will, heal me. Or just give me the strength to get through this. But either way, thank you for choosing me. Thank you for adopting me. Thank you that though right now things stink, thank you that I got an eternal inheritance in heaven which will not fade away. Okay? So God predetermined that all believers would receive an inheritance in his kingdom. And then we're told there too in the Ephesians 1 that God predetermined that we receive an inheritance according to his purpose, and he works everything after the counsel of his will. Okay? So God's sovereign will goes uninterrupted despite our free will. You know, God didn't force Hitler to do the Holocaust, to slaughter millions of innocent people, but God will still achieve his purposes even when he allows things to occur. But here we have that God predetermines. He looks at the free choices we're going to make, and he predetermines whether bad or good, he's still going to work it for good. This takes us back to Romans 8:28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And Paul says there, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Okay? And he explained the reason why everything works for our good, how God can pull that off, is because verses 26 and 27, because the Holy Spirit prays for us. Because we don't know how we should pray for ourselves. So he prays for us with groanings too deep for words. And the Holy Spirit prays for us, and so God works everything for our good. It could be bad things. God will work it for our good. Even when you sin, God's going to work it for good. Now, the thing is, working sin for your good usually means you do some woodshed time. It usually means you suffer some really bad consequences. Remember, good news is we're adopted sons and daughters of the Almighty King of Kings. Now, the other side of that coin is we got a God who loves us enough to spank us. Okay? So you make mistakes in your past, if you're a true believer, God will work it for good. But that might mean, that might mean destruction of a family, being homeless and poor and being in food lines or whatever it means. And the worst thing is you lose that joy of the Lord. And, you could read Psalms where King David's repenting for his sins. And what a horrible place to be. But whether good or bad, God works everything for the good of those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. And so part of that is where God has predetermined, if you're a believer, you will receive an eternal inheritance, and God is able to work all things after the counsel of his will. So the evil one saying, you're not going to get that inheritance. You're loving people, you're speaking the truth in love, you're serving Jesus. It's all a waste of time. You're probably not going to receive that inheritance. God, no, the Bible says, if you're a believer, God has predetermined that inheritance will not be shaken. Okay? It will be there. And we've got to trust God. We've got to live by faith and not by sight. Look at the same chapter, Romans 8. Verses 14 to 18. For as many, Romans 8, verses 14 to 18, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Okay, there's a whole lot of people who are not being led by the Holy Spirit, and they're claiming to be sons and daughters of God. Okay? If you're one of those people, stop lying. Okay? If you are really saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus, you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean you're not going to have a bad day. You might even have a bad year. But in general, your life should be characterized by walking obediently with the Lord. Okay? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of what? Of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So now we have this personal love relationship with God the Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If you feel like, man, I don't feel saved. Well, you don't feel saved. Well, get on your knees. Spend some time with God in prayer. Start devotionally studying the scriptures. Sing praise songs to God, even if you're alone. Amen. Okay? Fellowship with other Christians. There's a whole lot of things that God says, you do these things, you'll be filled with God's Spirit. Okay? And so then the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Problem is, we're not listening most of the time. Okay? If we turn on the radio of the world, the wisdom of the world, if that's cranked up to 10, and the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives is only cranked up to 1 or 2, well, we're not going to hear his voice. And I'm telling you, the only thing worse than the world telling you you're a loser, just hang it up, you're worthless, you can't accomplish anything, the only thing worse than the world telling you that is the world telling you you're great and you don't need Jesus. You're great just the way you are. But if you're a believer, those are both lies. And so listen to the Holy Spirit's voice. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs. We got an inheritance. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You imagine that? We receive an inheritance with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Okay? I don't like to, I don't spend like hours trying to think, gee, I wonder what my inheritance in heaven is going to be like. I just need to know that it's there. Okay? And, you know, the book of Hebrews talks about Old Testament saints who some of them, instead of just dying when they were being persecuted, try to stay alive as long as possible to prolong their pain because greater would their reward be in heaven. In other words, the longer I live serving Jesus, the greater my reward will be. Now, this is key. All believers have an eternal inheritance in heaven that shall not fade away. Okay? However, that eternal life, inheritance, reigning with Christ, however, there's going to be a different degree of rewards. So that Christian friend that you have that's like, wow, that guy, he lives for Jesus 24/7. What a boring guy. He never has any fun, this and that. But stop feeling sorry for him. He's got the eternal perspective. Okay? Feel sorry for yourself. It's like two different guys. And one guy spends every dime he makes, he spends. And you say, "Come on, man, you want to let's go to a movie tonight." You ask your buddy, and he says, "No, I can't because you know it costs too much, and I'm investing and trying to build a retirement or something, save for a rainy day." You're saying, "Well, come on, just get a credit card. Let's go to the movie and stuff." And you feel sorry for the guy because he never has any fun. I remember it was a guy, Catholic kid, Gary Slusher, my weightlifting buddy, and he ended up doing a big career in Minnesota State Police after he got out of the Marine Corps. But he used to never go to the movie. We'd go to the Marine Corps would feed us three meals a day, and then we'd go and buy two big giant meals in between, and this guy would just like stay in his room a lot, saving his money, and we were blowing all our money. It's like, hey, when you're 75 years old and you don't have a dime to your name, you're not going to be feeling sorry for your buddy who's well taken care of. But it's investing in the future. In this earthly life, that's smart. But what about investing in eternity? That's even more important. And so don't feel sorry for that Christian friend of yours that's so sold out for Jesus, he doesn't have any quote-unquote fun. Okay? It's not about fun. It's the joy of the Lord. Sell out for Jesus, okay? And remember that you have an inheritance. And the sufferings you go through right now. You know, am I going to be all consumed with my back pain when I get my resurrection body and no more pain and suffering and I'm reigning with Christ? You know, but now there's greater sufferings like the death of a loved one. Or a prolonged battle with like some serious things like cancer and things of that sort. Or being in a concentration camp like Corrie ten Boom. And there's horrible sufferings. Well, Paul says, look, if you got an inheritance in heaven, the sufferings of this present time aren't even worthy to be compared to the inheritance you're going to receive when Jesus comes back. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, listen to what Peter says here in verses 3 to 5. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, made us born again to a living hope. See, if you're a believer, you have hope. You have real hope. If you're not a believer, your hope is there's just nothing but false hopes. Okay? But he's begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus has conquered the grave. If you're a believer, death isn't going to win. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so what Peter's saying is that, look, that inheritance, it's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It's not going to fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. Okay? And, Alan told me today when he came in, he said, I'm ready to go home. I want to go home. I said, you're feeling sick? You got to leave. Just go ahead and leave. He said, no. I want to go home. You know? That's what being focused on your spiritual blessings is. You know, and we look at the world, this mist of madness, a country that has kicked God out. We kicked God out of our schools in 1963. 10 years later, we started killing babies. You know, our culture has become so anti-Christian and all. But it's kind of like, Lord, I want to be with you now. But if I wake up tomorrow morning, that just tells me you got more work you want me to do. And But whatever the case, our inheritance will not fade away. So God's sovereign will goes uninterrupted despite our free will, and we have this hope in Christ. What should our response be? We should praise God for his glory. The number one thing, our lives ought to be characterized by praising God. You know? And amen, amen. It's kind of like, you know, I'll give you a real carnal illustration, but I'm pretty good at praising God when the Raiders win. Okay, how am I doing praising God when the Raiders lose? Okay, I'm really good at praising God when the guys and gals that I voted for win the elections. How good am I doing praising God when the guys and gals who win the elections, I kind of think they like to see me dead, assuming they even know who I am, okay? But Paul could praise God in a cool, damp prison cell with Silas, chained up in a Philippian jail. Paul could praise God knowing that the day was going to come when he was going to suffer and die for preaching the Lord Jesus to others. And so our response ought to be praising God for his glory. Now I'm just going to close with a few passages before we receive communion. I just want, as a point of application here, this is blessing number 6. We have an inheritance in heaven. Okay? It's an eternal inheritance. We're chosen in Christ, adopted as sons and daughters. We're accepted by God. We're redeemed, forgiven. We have a new knowledge. We see God's plan. We see that history makes sense, and it's all pointing to Jesus. Okay? All creation will submit to Jesus, and we have an eternal inheritance. Next week, we'll see that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. But all believers, if you're a believer, if you're trusting in Jesus from the heart, a lot of pretenders out there in the American church. But if you really are trusting in Jesus for salvation, okay, you have an eternal inheritance in heaven reserved for you that will not fade away. However, there are different levels of rewards in heaven. So I just want us to look at a few passages here. So in other words, rejoice that you have this inheritance in heaven that will not fade away, but don't just, that doesn't mean, okay, then I could just sit down on the couch and watch TV all day long, you know, and stuff like that. And so Matthew 6:19-21, Jesus says this, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Matthew 6:19-21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we're saved by grace, but grace not only saves, grace changes lives. Are you living to build your own kingdom, or are you living to build the kingdom of God? Are you living for Jesus, or are you living for yourself? And so there's going to be different levels of reward in heaven. Don't build up treasures on earth. Build up treasures in heaven. Colossians 3. This is something of a perspective. Because we have an eternal inheritance, okay, we ought to live that way. We ought to live with eternity at the forefront of our minds. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Colossians 3, 1 to 3. If then you were raised with Christ, and if you're a believer, you're trusting Jesus for salvation, you were raised with Christ. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I'm telling you, does it concern me that our government is getting bigger and bigger, and that our government wants to, there are large segments of our government that wants man to worship and totally depend on government rather than worshiping God? In fact, you worship God, you're considered a threat. Does that concern me? Yes, that concerns me. But I still have to have my mind set on the things of God, on our spiritual blessings in Christ. Now, does that mean that I say, well, then I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to speak the truth on these issues in public and all that. Let me tell you, Christians should oppose abortion, killing babies before they're born, and they should also oppose socialism, Marxism, communism. You realize big government in the 20th century was the number one serial murderer of all kind, of all time. More people were killed by their own governments, apart from war, than all of mankind's wars put together. And that's just between 1917 and 1991. Dr. R.J. Rummel did the research. He coined the term democide, death by government. So yeah, we need to stand up for people's rights, but we've got to have that Sermon on the Mount attitude. When it's me, I turn the other cheek. You slap me, I'm supposed to turn the other cheek, okay? When it's others, then we need to stand up for their rights. So, you know, you slap me on one cheek, I turn the other cheek. You slap my wife, and you're going to find out if this old boy can still fight, okay? And so just keep that perspective. As you're standing up for what is right, and you're saying, wait a minute, those political leaders are evil. That's ungodly. I need to discourage people from voting for them. Destroying property, beating up people, blinding police officers, that's evil. I need to stand against that. While you're doing that, you still also need to be praising God because you got an eternal inheritance in heaven. But believe me, God is not on the side of big government slaughtering human beings. We go down to socialism. You think the riots are bad. You go with a socialist regime, it'll be a more humane way. They just put people in put people in trucks and then take them away, and you never see them again. Yeah. So whatever the case, we've got to live for those rewards in heaven. At the same time, we got to be good citizens too. By the way, I will say this. Being a Christian in a free country is often much more complex than being a Christian in under a tyrannical regime. Because it's like when you're a Christian in a tyrannical regime, well, they'll kill you for worshiping Jesus. What do? Well, you preach Jesus, and the church goes underground, but it's just the book of Acts. The difficult thing for us is we have to decide, how can I be a good Christian, and as a good Christian, also be a good citizen, because I have political say. And it really makes things complicated to where sometimes our citizenship in America, we make that more important than our citizenship in heaven. And it should never be that way. At the same time, God did not institute human government to slaughter human beings. So when we run up against Adolf Hitler's and Joseph Stalin's in our day and age, we got to oppose them like we would oppose them back then. But we praise God, and we're grateful there's an eternal inheritance for us. And the number one thing we got to do is the Great Commission. Lead people to Christ and disciple them. But we're also required to be good citizens because we have political say here. So while we still got it, let's speak truth to a culture that hates truth. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. Just a couple more verses, then we'll receive the Lord's Supper. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. In fact, we'll look at verses 11 and 12. This is a faithful saying, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. This is a faithful saying, if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Then verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And it's not talking about having a bad day like Peter when he denied Jesus three times. But it's talking about if your life is characterized by denying Jesus rather than preaching Jesus, we don't belong to him. But the true believers will endure. Okay? Big debate. Can a believer lose their salvation? I don't believe a believer can lose their salvation. And I'll be talking about that next week. But I agree with those who teach that you can lose your salvation, that the only ones that are going to heaven are those who endure to the end. I just believe that it's God causing us, the true believers, to persevere. Where others would say, well, you could walk away from the Lord. But whatever the case, let me tell you right now, if you're not enduring, you get people that, this guy, well, that guy's a Christian. He accepted the Lord when he was 9 years old and said a sinner's prayer and he cried. Well, if the guy's been taking God's name in vain for the last 50 years, if he happens to be a serial murderer and a drunkard, shouldn't we question maybe that, maybe this guy really wasn't saved? But true believers will be faithful and they'll persevere. Could have a bad day, bad night like Peter, a bad year like David, but their lives are going to be characterized by faithfulness and persevering and enduring till the end. If we endure to the end, we shall reign with him. That's talking about inheritance. Okay? And in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, we'll close with this. This is after Jesus comes back to reign upon the earth. Revelation 20 and verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast, that's the Antichrist, or his image, and had not received the mark on their foreheads or on their hands, the 666. You can't buy or sell without it. You got to make that choice. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now here it sounds like the only people who are going to reign with Christ are the believers during the tribulation period who get beheaded. But you go to other passages in Revelation, and it talks about all believers reigning with Christ. We looked at a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2. All believers will reign with Christ. Okay? In fact, you can even find little hints. Jesus told the 12 apostles, you're going to sit on 12 thrones over the 12 tribes of Israel. Book of Ezekiel says David's going to be king over Israel. Jesus is going to be king over the whole planet Earth. Okay? And so we have an inheritance. Okay? And I'm just going to close with saying this. If you're a true believer, I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to endure in the faith. You have an inheritance in heaven reserved for you. It will not fade away. Okay? It's going to be a different level of rewards. We need to live for Jesus, not for ourselves. There are some preachers who do. I'm not saying they're wrong. But I don't focus on, other than just in general, there's an inheritance in heaven waiting for me. And now I need to, what's my job? It's my job to carry the cross. Jesus said in Mark 8:34, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow me. Follow Jesus in the path of obedience to the Father. Okay? So I'm just focused on carrying a cross. Whatever, you each have a cross. What is that mission that God has given you? Are you denying yourself, your own sinful desires? And are you picking up that cross and following Jesus in the path of obedience? If you're doing that, that's fine. You know there's an inheritance waiting in heaven for you, but I'm gonna let King Jesus. He's going to dish out the thrones and the crowns. Okay? I just want to be there. Okay? And you want to be first in God's kingdom? Learn to be the servant of all. The last will be first, and the first will be last. But what I'm saying is, look, you got an eternal inheritance that will not fade away in heaven awaiting you if you're trusting in Jesus for salvation. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You going to twiddle your thumbs and stay in your house and say, I'm glad I get to stay inside, because you go outside, people get hurt, and they don't like Christians right now. Okay? What are you going to do about it? You got an inheritance in heaven. You know what you do? You deny yourself, and you pick up the cross, and you follow Jesus. I'm telling you, following Jesus is going to get you in a lot of trouble right now. It's going to cost you your job. You're going to lose your property. Someday you're going to lose, so you can't even be able to buy and sell. It's our job to carry the cross and obey Jesus and deny ourselves. And King Jesus, he's got inheritance waiting for us. I'll let him be concerned with what kind of thrones, what kind of crowns. All I know is I'm just going to focus on carrying that cross. And, maybe you woke up this morning and you just thought, who am I? I'm not important, this and that. Look, if you're a believer, you're an adopted son of the King, you're chosen, you're accepted, you have knowledge this world doesn't have, okay? And you got an inheritance waiting in heaven for you. Now, stop bad-mouthing yourself and accepting the world's view of you. You deny yourself, you pick up that cross, and you follow King Jesus, okay? The world might hate you for it. If the whole world hates you, I'm going to follow Jesus, okay? It might get you killed. Well, that's the norm. Not only through the history of the church, that's the norm in most countries on earth right now. You follow Jesus, and you follow Jesus and you're quiet, you might get away with it. But if you follow Jesus and you're loud, you're toast. Okay? But I'd rather die for Jesus than live for this world. And we got an inheritance in heaven. Let's live like children of the King.